Daytime Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Jennifer Garris gets a contract at Bold and the Beautiful. Stefan is temporarily recast on Days of Our Lives. General Hospital drops some anvils. And Billy goes off the rails on The Young and the Restless. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Jubinville, welcome.
Hello.
Jillian Bowe, welcome.
Hello.
Joshua Baldwin, welcome.
Yo, yo, yo.
Also, also joining us today, he's been on mute. Smitty, welcome.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry. I was going to try for it. One of these days, I'll actually have him on the line, and then we'll see what happens.
No, because we ain't going to be talking about Taylor Hayes for no hour. No, sorry.
Well, Nikki Newman would end up being discussed as well, I'm sure.
I know Smitty. He'll talk about Nikki for a little bit, but it will be Taylor Hayes. The door is closed, Smitty. The door is closed. No.
We shall see. We shall see. Speaking of The Bold and the Beautiful, Taylor Hayes wasn't on.
See?
But Jennifer Garris is going to be on a whole lot more. She got a contract. Jillian? What do you think of this?
I hope Brad does something with her. I mean, you know, he does this all the time. Bring you back. You know, it's like that. I think it's The Godfather. Every time I try to get out, they pull me back in. I'm pretty sure she's trying to get out, but they always pull her back in and then they don't do nothing with her. So I'm hoping they do something. I mean, looking like how they set things up, how Brooke is just being so two-faced to Katie. I'm hoping that there's one Logan sibling that will be loyal to their sister. So I'm here for it. I just hope they do something with her.
I don't mind Jennifer Garris on The Bold and the Beautiful. I wish I like her more on The Young and the Restless. When that her character there pops up, I think that this would be a good time for her to pop up. But I'm glad. Hey, it never hurts to be an actor and have a contract. Let's talk a little bit about what happened on screen at The Bold and the Beautiful this last week. Mike, yes. Katie and Bill are going to battle, and Katie seems to have the upper hand, and meanwhile, Ridge is trying to, like, blackmail a judge or call in a favor with a judge. What do you think?
Let's be accurate. It's calling a favor.
What are you thinking?
Actually liked Bold and Beautiful last week. I was pretty engaged in watching the episodes. I thought they were well-balanced with, thankfully, not just one storyline working all week. I like the idea of Ridge going off the bender about Bill. Just kind of makes me laugh. It's that time that I root for Bill because Ridge, to me, is such an ass. But I like the idea that they're going to court for Will, but I also like the idea that Ridge is trying to pull some strings from behind the scenes. And I think maybe what's going to end up is that he's going to end up blowing it for Katie when he's trying to help her out. So I'm kind of interested to see how this works out because Bill, we all know, will have some trick up his sleeve at the last minute. And I'm kind of interested to see how it's going to work out. Even though it's a little contrived, I can deal with it.
Jillian, what are you thinking of?
The whole, all of a sudden, we never saw Bill have issues with Will. Right. And we knew for a year that he was preoccupied with other things, but Will was never on screen. So it was never, ever brought up. Katie never said anything. So to me, it just seems a little contrived. Now her and Ridge, Thorne want to get married, and it's going to look like they're trying to do it to make it look better for their family situation, which I sort of understand. But that's the only reason why I mean it's contrived.
I don't think it's too contrived. Yeah, we hadn't seen Will on screen. They never brought it up. They never brought up that Bill was neglecting Will. They never brought up that he was seeing Will. So they give you a little wiggle room. But I do agree with you in this sense that and this is to your transition, Luke. I do believe that them going from, you know, having Bill try to reconnect with his son, and one day they had one bad night together, and then the next day when Bill and Will when Bill's supposed to meet Will and he has a meeting and it's all, oh, I want to get custody. It's like, did he leave him like in the park for like a few hours or some shit? Did he leave him unattended to go to a board meeting while at a board meeting? Did he have Will playing in the reception area and he bumped his head? Or was he smoking a cigar? Like, nothing. They should have had a little bit more add up with this. I understand, you know, I'm not saying that because B&B is a 30-minute show because that they could get some allowances, because some people like to say that. But I'm like, listen, I know this is a new soap opera model where they like to do little things faster, but other soaps take their time building up the drama, and I feel as though they should have built it up. While, now, for your point, Mike, I will give you this. While Bill was trying to be with Steffi, Katie should have been trying to get Bill to see Will, and she would say, you know, every once in a while, you would just hear it, just a little slither, and be like, Bill, you need to see your son. Your son keeps asking about you. What is going on? Yeah. And you just see her just mentioning every once in a while. But that starts to add up when you flip it back around to her having, you know, when they bring it back up again to this point, she could be like, you know, for months I was telling you to come see your son, but you always blew him off for, you know, for some snatch. And, you know, for her to just use this to add up, and then for Thorne to be like secretly documenting this shit, and for him to be like, we got a case. We have a case against this motherfucker. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. You know, that would have been a little bit more drama, but I feel as though they're building the drama up to have not only Bill and Katie go to war, but to also for Bill to go to war against the Forrester brothers. This is just a pretext for them to build up the war for the Forrester brothers, and also for Ridge and Bill to go to war for stupid Brooke. And
it does.
I'm a Brooke fan. I'm a Brooke fan. Y'all know I loves me some Brooke, but this is just dumb. Like, you don't have to use Will to do that. You should have just done some shit where he was bashing their line. He kept saying that Ridge is a washed up dressmaker or something, and that's how you build something up. You don't have to use Will to do that, but whatevs.
It does feel, Josh, like the custody battle is becoming more of a proxy war than an actual custody battle.
Yeah, I'm engaged with this. I'm engaged with Steffi and Hope at Forrester. I have for a long time had to sit back and not get so caught up in the detail of Bold and the Beautiful, because it drives me crazy, because it is so fast paced. And
Mike told you, you better watch what I say.
Exactly. Right. So I sit back and I go, all right, just let it go. And when I let it go, the stories actually started getting better. It is contrived. I think all the points of both you made with Thorne, Ridge, Katie, Brooke, Bill mess, but it's good story.
It's back to basics.
It's not good backstory. The lead up is bad, but the current version of the story is good. It's all the actors. I like the actors. They're playing well. The only thing I don't like about it is just when I had gotten better with liking Ridge, they're now writing him in that way. We're like, oh yeah, I know you forgot he was a complete jackass douche canoe, but here he is. He's complete asshole, and now I'm getting reminded of it again. Katie, the thing I love about Heather Tom's performance is it's the only kind of nuanced performance in the entire thing, because she wants to protect her son, but she also is torn. She really, this goes back to that, this really wasn't her idea. Right. She signed on to it, but this is not her idea, and she's still torn. It's being played really, really well, I think.
And I thought it was good that Thorne brought up Darla and Allie, because
yes,
that is a basis for a lot of what he's doing.
Jillian, this last week you posted a story on Daytime Confidential about Tyler Christopher having to take a personal leave and Brandon Barash coming in and stepping into the role of Stefan. What's going on there?
Well, you know, we don't really delve into, you know, all that jazz. That's just not our zhuzh. But Tyler is taking some time off. He has, you know, to work on some personal issues that he has, some family issues that he has. And we're rooting for Tyler. And this goes to show you that Daze is invested in Stefan, because they could have written Stefan off or kill him off and then just be like, whoop, that's it. But they're bringing Brandon Brash on to fill in for him while he's gone. And I'm like, oh, Daze, what y'all doing to me?
It's
because
gonna
I'm
be
like,
good.
Y'all, because... now listen, nah. You like to cut, boy. No, now y'all know.
I want to get a little bit thottish on here.
Okay, no. We see you on Instagram. You ain't got to do it on here, too. Listen, when I found that tea out, I said, oh, Jesus. Y'all are just setting some shit up. Because y'all know from the moment Brandon Barish left GH, I have been trying to cast him everywhere. I'm like, he would be a great Scotty Granger. I'm like, he would be a good Kyle Abbott. I'm like, he would be good at Chance. Hell, if you bring that drag Ronan Malloy back, he would be great as Ronan Malloy. Angelica ain't listening, child. She too busy looking at Synergy and yeah. So I'm like, okay, girl, that's fine. I'm like, he would be a good, he could have been a good Thomas, but they don't listen to me over there either, child. And I've been sitting foot over at Daze. I'm like, he needs to go somewhere. And I'm like, oh. I'm like, I don't know. See, I don't know. This is really going to be hard, boy.
I'm looking forward to it because he had such amazing chemistry with pretty much everybody on General Hospital.
Yes.
But the character of Johnny Zakara was never one that you got to see really done up in a suit, whereas Stefan is always in a suit. So it's going to be very interesting to see him take a little bit more stylistic role on Days of Our Lives. Josh, what do you think of this news?
I love Brandon Barash. I would love to have him on. However, I'm somewhat torn because I want him on my screen, but if they use him as Stefan, which they're clearly going to do temporarily, then you can't use him as somebody else immediately. He may just want to work temporarily, who knows.
How many Romans are there?
See, I know, but that's,
yeah, but this is, that's different. That's different. Yeah. That's different.
I know it's different. I'm just saying, I would not, no. If Ron Carlovati decides that he really likes Brandon Barash on his screen because of this, I don't think that there is going to be anything that is going to prevent Ron Carlovati from having Tyler Christopher and Brandon Barash on screen at the same time.
Kyle Lauder.
Yeah, but that's different. Again, that's different. And I'm pretty sure, look, we've been hyping Ron up. This ain't no shade to Ron, but last time I checked, you said his last name was what, Carlovati? That ain't Irish for a core day or nothing. So I'm pretty sure Ken is like, oh, bitch, if I want the both of them on, that's a must-say. Yeah. So.
Well, I'm just saying, the Tale of Two Todds.
That's different. That's totally different there. They were on the way out. They
what
were
are your thoughts
out.
On the news?
Well, I agree with Jillian. I hope that Tyler can work out his issues. I'm pulling for him. I was hoping that the character would work better than it has, but I am very happy that they are going to do something with this character. Maybe Brandon will take it and take him in a different direction. So I'm on board with it because I like him too. I'm with you guys. I think he should be somewhere on one of the four shows. So at least we get him for a little while.
So
I would have put him in as a cat. I would have cast him as EJ.
Oh no, boy! Good
I totally
day.
I would have cast
good
him.
Day,
as EJ.
Good
would.
Day. Good day. Good day. Good day.
Tell
good
me why.
Good day. He's short. That's why. Well, and he don't have no British accent.
That?
Yes.
And Blair was Asian.
And technically, EJ was majorly sore-assed.
Yeah, but so what? No. Good day. No shit against Brandon Barash, but that would have not worked well.
This is the perfect segue into the amazing promo. I was going to try and segue into the, like, is that really Princess Gina or is this a Halloween costume Gina? But let's talk a little bit about the promo, because in the promo, Sammy sees a man who says that he's EJ in a wheelchair with a mask on.
Stop. See, you got a magic TV up in your house in Arizona. Sammy says nothing of the sort. Nobody says they're EJ either. She talks about looking for EJ, and then you hear some man say Samantha. We don't. So, ain't nobody said that. What you talking about? Make
okay. So, if that is EJ in the wheelchair, who would you like to portray EJ? My first thought was Paul Layden.
Hmm. I gotta look him up now. Let me see what you look like now.
While you guys are thinking about that, I'll come back to it. Josh, do you think that's Princess Gina?
Do I think it's Princess Gina? I hope it's Princess Gina, because without us having any knowledge, we all talked about something up with Hope last week, and I would love for that to actually be true.
Well, and right, because like we have Hattie, where Marlena was whisked off without anything on screen. Is it possible that Hope has also been replaced off screen?
It could be, because even if you notice at the beginning of this week, Sean Douglas was giving Hope the side eye the entire time. As was Rafe, but Sean Douglas was the more effective of the two, where you're like, he was like, I think that this serial killer dude is right.
Yeah, I mean, because he hit the nail on the head, because, you know, they're doing red herrings with Hope, because when he said, come on now, you know I do this, and started, you know, giving reasons why, Sean happened to be around when Hope was, you know, when Hope was talking shit about this boy, so, and the evidence and all that jazz. So Sean was just like, what? My mama setting people up? Like, what the fuck? Like, she, I know she want her to be away from, I know she want Sierra away from this boy, but would she really go there? So... that's interesting tea. And, you know, Rafe is in a precarious situation, because Rafe has a feeling that Hope has done something. He don't want to say it because he don't want to rock the boat. He is torn, because if he goes there and says something, you know him and Hope are already on thin ice because of Sammy. So he don't want to rock the boat with her ass, but that, you know, law, that, you know, G-man in him is just like, I can't let this go. Like, this is really suspect that this is all happening. She wanted him gone, and now all of a sudden she got him gone. Like, Sean is like, that's my mama. I get her, but I can't, you know, let that rock. And Ray is just like, it's just like, you know, they're all in precarious states because of what, because of their relationships with Hope. So this is some good conflict.
Meanwhile, in the promo, we got to see that Ari Zucker is back as Nicole, and Eric goes and decks Brady. In my mind, at the same time, I'm thinking, yes, I know that Sammy's fighting EJ, but I really need a Sammy and Nicole scene. Mike, what did you think of it?
Oh, boy.
Well, there's a lot of action in that promo.
Smitty may be able to take my spot for a week, because I'm like, Lord Jesus.
It had a lot going on, and it does preview stuff that's going to happen over several weeks or months, not just
months.
Right, yeah. It's months.
So it looks exciting. I mean, there's a little bit of something for everyone, and I think that you know, a lot of good returns. We know some stuff that's going to be coming up. We know there's, you know, whatever's going on with Bonnie is going to be tied to what's his name, Rex? Is it Rex and Mimi coming back? And then I don't know. It's going to be good. There's a lot of good returns, and I think it's going to be.
You see Sarah Horton.
Yep. Who I totally forgot was coming on. That's what happens when you get the casting news, and then 6 months later.
Look for them to, you know, because everybody says, when is Brandon coming on? Then you see, look for 2019, and you're like, fuck.
I love the fact that NBC does do this promo for the new season. I think it's a good idea to get people excited and interested. So I enjoyed it. I had to watch it a few times to catch everything, and I just stop and pause and do slow motion because everything was happening so fast.
You know, okay, so back to this Paul Layden thing. I thought about him before. I was like, I mean, he's a little bit older than James, but I'm like, I've told people this because I've had some Ejammy fans try it, and I'm telling y'all right now, you can try it, but you'll get denied it. It's just weird that, how do I want to say this? He has said he does not want to come back. He has also said in interviews, listen, if they decide to recast the role, that's within their right. But I don't want to come back. Now, for me, I find that very like, whoa, for an actor, because, you know, actors, they're always like, oh, I want to leave and da-da-da-da. I want to branch out and da-da-da-da and stuff like that. But they never really want anybody to recast that role. I remember Amber Tamblyn, when she left GH, she claimed that Jill Farren Phelps said she wasn't going to recast the role. And then when Amber left, she was like, girl, bye. And Amber was hurt. And I'm like, but you're on another TV show. Mm-hmm. You know, they do that. No shade to actors, but y'all seem to do that as a safety net. So if shit don't work out, y'all got someplace to be. And it's like, mm-hmm. you know, you acting like soaps made you pop, but you act like soaps is your dirty little secret that you like date a side hoe when shit don't work out with your husband or with your wife. But he has said, back to James, but he has said, if they want to recast, fine. For some reason, well, I get the reason why, because Sammy is not on screen. Allie is not back full time all the time to do anything with EJ being back. So you can't really recast the role because you do need Allison in that. And I can't see them having EJ and Sammy ride off into the sunset. They break up 3 months later and EJ's back in town. That's just, we know that's bullshit. We've known that character of EJ has been obsessed with Sammy since he hit Salem. So no, but at the same time, it's like, if the man don't want to come back in the role, if Days has all tried to reach out to him, I don't know if they have or have not. If Days, I just know he just disappeared as soon as he left that show. He whoosh, gone. I'm like, damn, he in witness protection. If the man don't want to come back and they want to wrap that up, because let's just be brass tacks. We cannot keep having Sammy come to town after EJ. That is going to start to get played out. That is going to start to get tired. And fans are going to get mad and eat their asses up for that. Because, you know, I noticed, no shade, but I'm just going to be real. I'm equal opportunity. I noticed when Kimberly McCullough was, you know, off a GH, and when they first murked her, Garen Wolf, they kept doing that with her. They kept dangling that back and forth. And it was good for like the first maybe three times. But then fans was like, all right, Ron, like cut that bullshit out. I don't want it to be a situation where they keep using that as a trope in order to bring Sammy back to town or in order to usher her out. So with that being said, if James don't want to come back, either you have Sammy, I feel as though I don't know nothing. I feel as though it's like this. You have Sammy, she tracks EJ down. They probably got some day player or they got some stage hand sitting in the chair with black hair or brown hair. And they just say, Samantha. And she's like, EJ. And then she leaves and they're like, she finally found him. And boom. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, Vivian's out there too. So was it a man?
Well,
Are you meaning to imply that Kristen might have been alluding to Vivian being alive, pretending to be EJ to manipulate Sammy? Is that what you're saying, Mike?
No.
Because that's pretty convoluted.
Okay, it is. But we don't know why. We don't know what Samantha's doing there. We don't know what led her to that particular place, and maybe she stumbled on something she didn't expect. And I'm wondering, like, because the last I saw, Vivian was sitting in a wheelchair in a room, and that was months ago.
So maybe that is Vivian in the wheelchair, and the person wrapped up in the bed is some. Maybe that person is EJ. But you know, if he doesn't
I love Sammy and Vivian teaming up back in the day.
But if he does not want to come back. I mean, Paul Layden is Australian, so I'm like, so, I mean, if you got to wrap them up so they can ride off into the sunset, fine, I guess. If it was me, I would try to reach out to James one more again and be like, you sure? Because we don't want no bullshit from you and somebody catch up with you and then you talk, you know, cash money shit in some interview and be like, well, they didn't even talk to me. And they'd be like, boy, yes, bull, like, you know what I mean? Like, if they reach out to him one more again to give him like first refusal and he refuses, they got to do what they got to do because you can only play this so many times. Sammy is on the run looking for EJ. You can't keep doing that.
Real quick then, Josh and Mike, if you had a chance to recast EJ, who would it be with?
I would recast him. And to me, the accent, we could explain that away. I would recast him with Trevor St. John.
Get the fuck out of here.
No. I've said Trevor St. John from day one, from the next
I don't care. I just said from day one, get the fuck out of here.
Well, I can get the fuck out. I still have my opinion too.
Mike, you need to.
I don't really have. I don't have somebody that's.
He
really...
doesn't have an investment in
Trevor
EJ.
Trevor St. John?
I think Trevor St. John would be good. Him and Allison Sweeney would have amazing chemistry.
I'd have to do some research. I'm not the pop quiz kid when it comes to stuff like
that. Okay.
This.
Well, in that case, since you're not the pop quiz person, we'll let you answer the next question about someone who also probably isn't a pop quiz person, Hattie.
Oh shit!
Where the hell is this going? Okay.
Hattie, it was revealed, replaced Marlena when Roman, Kayla, and John whisked Marlena away and secretly before the plug could be pulled, and Hattie is saying that she and John need to get married.
That was a good fake out, though. That was a good ass fake out.
Mike, what'd you think?
I agree, it was a good ass fake out. I also think that you could drive a truck through the story holes, but because
I want to hear.
Come on, you know. She's just laying up in some part of the hospital where nobody knows. It just seems like if it's under construction, then there would be construction people there.
Oh, my God. They ain't got a budget.
They had to throw a sheet up and put her in there.
Yes, you need to quit it now, Mike.
I did.
The hospital looks eerily familiar to the room, the safe room that was below the Demira mansion.
It was cute before with your nitpicking, but now you need to stop.
They ain't
got no budget. Because last week we complained about bigger shit like Hope not being there, Kate not being there, Victor and Maggie not being there, Ma Brady not being there, but there are no construction people. Boy, shut up, Mike.
So what I was going to say was that I was thinking about stuff like that, and then I let it go. So you can just, you know. Yeah.
I'm still going to get on you.
Because I still like what I'm watching. And Hattie being there actually is a good idea. And using Roman and Kayla, because Kayla now is just all dirtied up with stuff ever since.
Yes, it's great.
Get this stuff.
Sweetness,
so she's doing shady stuff all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So it ties together your core group of people. You've got Roman and Marlena and John Black. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you've got all these people there that everybody's familiar with, and they're all just pulling this big con on their children, which is even better.
Well, because, I mean, you know, Belle drove them to this point. Belle drove them to this point. So she didn't even wait to see if anything would take place or anything. I feel that, now that's the gaping hole that I would complain about instead of damn construction workers, but whatevs. That, you know, she got shot. She's laying up in there for a day, and already Belle want to be like, pack it in, Ma. Like, that, I thought that was crazy.
But according to her thing, she shouldn't have ever really been hooked up to the machines to begin with. That was her reasoning. Is that
Belle,
they had to turn
should
have just
fall back. Yeah, I get that, but Belle could have been a little bit reasonable and say, okay, guys, I'm going to give you 5 days and then do it. But Belle was just like, okay, you know, I don't care. But I'm totally fine with that. Like, I was like, oh, shit, this big Roman and John fake out was perfect. Because, you know, the person who was cooing over that was Luke when he was all John and Roman fight. I'm like, chow. That was just that their fighting was a little out of left field. Because I was like, Roman, you really want them to get rid of Doc that fast? Like, that just didn't sit well with me either. And then when you see that he's in the mix, I'm like, I like that. I totally like that. Tig said something way before we got a whiff of this. He made a joke and was like, Belle, you should already know that your father, he named all the names that John had. He was like, John, Leroy, Forrest, Alamein, da-da-da-da-da-da. He was like, you should have known that he will smuggle your mama. He said, you know, he's able to smuggle your mama out the hospital room. And when you found out that was Hattie, I was like, ain't that some shit? I love it. Hattie don't give a fuck that she's supposed to be Marlena-esque. When she woke up and told Sammy, you tried to kill your mama. Sammy's like, what? She's like, get out of here. And when Josh? She read Belle for Filth, I was like, thank you. Somebody read that gal for Filth.
It was the first time I felt sorry for Belle since she's returned. Hell Josh, no, Josh, what do you think of Hattie and as Marlena?
I think Deidre Hall looks like she's having the most fun ever. And in that preview when she's all up and dancing and shaking that ass, I was like, that is so funny. I have no idea what it's for, but it's funny. And down the road, it looks like we've got, like, I think Michael said, the wedding, quote unquote, between Hattie and John, potentially.
That's hilarious. I know, because, like, John is just, like, not here for Hattie's antics.
At
he's like,
all.
He's like, dude, you have to do that? Like, what's wrong with you?
I'm
like,
and I hope that she sticks around. I think Hattie and Roman could be very, they're very funny. They're very entertaining. I don't know how long Dee wants to play pull double duty.
Well,
but...
you know, back in the day, it used to be her sister that used to do that.
Yep.
Sister, I mean, it's no shade against Deidre at all because Deidre is funny, but her sister really nailed, because she originated it, but her sister's comedic timing, whereas Hattie was flawless, and she has it too, but I guess her sister is a school teacher, I think. I don't know if she's retired now, but I remember she was like on school break or something, and they was like, they approached it, and she was like, I'll do it, and I thought that was so cool. Like, how do you go back to school and tell, you know, your students are watching your ass while they on summer break? I thought that was really cool.
That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
I hope that she stays on. I hope that she stays on. And I hope one last thing, this relates to the doppelgangers, because if you also notice from the preview, the very, very first scene in the preview looks like Bonnie and Lucas having sex on the Kiriakis couch.
Oh, Lucas, what's wrong with you?
I know, but I think they could be really funny because it's looking
well,
really
he's a little bit slowful like Eric.
Well, Chloe's about to drop him, so.
Chow.
Oh, which has to be the final topic before we move on to General Hospital. Bonnie's dusty uterus.
Oh, my God.
I was like, woo, child. I screamed. I was like, did she really just go there? But when Lucas was like, you have my baby. I'm thinking, I know he was thinking to myself, where's Sammy when I need her to fucking switch a DNA test? I'm like,
how is it they do not have Sammy and Bonnie in a scene in two cells side by side? And Lucas showing up. That would be like, perfect.
No,
drama.
I think they need. No, you just like mess. You like camp. That's what you're looking for. They don't.
There's
have,
a lot
like,
of good camp going on
no,
days at the
you
moment.
Like, you like camps, period. My thing with that whole situation, I'm like, now this is the where you could drive a truck through shit. I'm like, where is Kate? Where is Kate to bust up in there and be like, she should have said, I know your dusty uterus don't have no baby for my child. Where is she? That's the one who should be there front and center saying, this is bullshit. You don't have no baby for her. You don't have no baby for Lucas. She lying. She lying. Where is Kate? Like, I don't get that. That's the Kate ain't around there to say nothing. Yes, they should have Sammy being like, oh, bitch, you lying. Like, they don't have those two there. I don't understand what they're doing, like, taking so long, dragging this out. I'm like, you know, Allison only there for, like, 3 months or so. Why y'all dragging shit out?
Josh?
Yo.
Speaking of dragging things out while avoiding anvils, General Hospital is not making very subtle indications that Ava's daughter,
not Ava,
is really Nina's.
Oh, God. Oh, child, the ghetto.
I know, it's terrible. I keep hoping that they're being so blatantly obvious in a way to make it something different.
I think they are because,
because
I mean, when people first started to suspect this, when Michelle Stafford first came on as Nina, that would have been interesting. Now I don't care. I don't care if Kiki turns out to be Nina's. I don't care.
The only reason that I care is that it's one more way that the writers of this show completely just shit on the character of Ava. Like, right. they make her responsible for everything. Like, she's the one who should be ashamed of everything, while the mobsters with a heart of gold over at the other side don't get blamed for anything.
She's a part of
someone on Twitter, and I apologize because I don't remember who it was, but someone on Twitter, like, literally compiled the list of all the female characters that are, like, torpedoed and subservient in comparison to the male characters on General Hospital, and it was like, yeah, these women need some Me Too, because it's like none of them ever get, like, are never treated as fairly as the male characters on this show.
And you have to go back, see, this is, you can't blame the writers for, well, they can fix this. I'm not saying they're blameless. This current, let me clean this up. This current regime can fix this. They're not totally blameless, but this, it didn't start with them. You have to go way back to the Jill Farren Phelps era, with Bob Guza. You know Guza is my dude. Jill Farren Phelps started this bullshit, and that's why, you know, shout out to Michael Logan. Y'all know I love Logan. Logan's my dude. But when Logan used to be like, people are hard on her because she's a woman, I'm like, yes, I'm hard on her because you're a woman running a woman. You know, you're the head of a daytime soap in a woman's genre. You should be cutting for women. You should have women as boss bad bitches. You shouldn't have the men rising to the top and smashing glasses at people's feet like a fool. You should be the one in there, like, you know, if a writer, if Bob Guza is like, yeah, I want Sonny to treat Brenda like a dog, you should be like, no, Sonny needs to beg for Brenda like he's a dog. Like, that was my issue with her, and she's done it on all, like, several soaps. Yeah. I mean, we got receipts out there. She could be like, I am not. I'm like, girl, YouTube said we ain't going nowhere, so you full of shit. That's why I have, that's why it just annoyed me with her whenever she would be on a show and women would just be dumbed and watered down. But with this regime, they have an opportunity to make Ava a force to reckon with. Like, when that whole Griffin thing happened, they should have made Ava a bitch on wheels with that. She should have just been so cutthroat.
Yeah, Griffin's lucky that he's not in a ditch somewhere.
Right.
Or underneath that building. I'm sorry he lost his career, but Ava Jerome would be underneath that building. I mean, Griffin would be underneath that building, buried, body, gone, Jimmy Hoffa style.
And there would be no skull to find. Mike, what are you thinking of these anvils? Or are you not seeing anvils because you're watching a different General Hospital?
He probably is.
I don't hear anvil or watch. I don't see anvil so much as the fact that
it's just red herring. Thing of,
I don't really care, because General Hospital's biggest problem, one of their biggest problems, is they take way too long to bring a story around. So but by the time this whole Nina, Kiki, Ava thing, this is something that should have happened years ago, right? Like, it's the kind of thing that happens with most all the storylines that are happening on General Hospital, is that they are circling back from something that happened 3 months ago, 6 months ago, and
decades,
it's almost
in the case
you can't
of Mike.
Even figure out what the point is. I mean, Cassandra is alive again. Okay,
oh, Lord,
why?
But then she's gone,
and nobody's been talking about her except for the dinner table. It just doesn't make sense. It makes no sense. So as far as the anvils, drop them all over the damn place.
I mean, I think they're red herrings. I wouldn't say anvils.
I think they're red herrings too.
Yeah, because I think they're hiring on some new chick, and
I'm
like, okay, some other broad that we don't give a damn about, that we have no history with. You know, that should have been Serena friggin' Baldwin on there to wreck up shop, because Scotty fucked up her trust fund and she can't get them top billions, and she is in town mad as hell, and she is ready to destroy her father for the fuck shit that he did, and she shacks up with Michael, and Carly and Sonny are like, oh hell no, and Scotty is like, I'll be damned, I'll kill your son dead, he could join Morgan.
I have never understood the reluctance of General Hospital to bring Serena back. It makes no sense. Like, is it about that character?
And she would fit in an age group, too.
She would be perfect opposite of Michael.
She came back once for Lee's
right,
death.
Right.
I'm like, okay.
But it's like
Brooklyn
Ashton.
They didn't even introduce her to Franco. Now, Did I miss something? Did they address Gail's death on there too or no?
Not yet, no.
Okay, I wonder now. I do wonder, well, before I go guns blazing on their ass, I mean, I did pop y'all and y'all, and, you know, I did bust a cap in your ass, but I'll, before I finish you off, maybe they will address Gail's death and maybe we'll see Serena. I'm hoping we do. And then maybe we'll see her with Franco or whatever. Maybe she will interact with people and we'll see something. I'm hoping they address that because I don't get it, because when that young lady, Carly Schroeder, came on, she's so gorgeous and she can still friggin' act. It's like, why won't you hire her? See, and then when they, well, when these actors get snapped up, hold up, when these actors get snapped up and go on other shows, and then when you see Frank Ass doing some interview, yeah, we were gonna get her, but she went to another show. It's like, you shady, because they went to another show, bitch. You wasn't calling them. Like, y'all can't get mad when these actors are like, fuck y'all, I gotta go eat. Like, come on.
Well, and if just say giving Frank the benefit of the doubt, I'm not saying that this is the case, but hypothetically speaking, if the actress who played Serena is choosing not to come back and only came back for that special episode because there was meaning to her, that is recast. Not to say that the role could not be recast. Brooklyn Ashton was very successfully recast with Adrienne Leone, who we'd seen on The Young and the Restless before, and fans loved her, and they didn't keep the character around. You can find an actress who fans will love to play this very pivotal character. Mike, what are you thinking of Mike and Margot's story?
Mike and Margot's story?
Mike Corbin, is Margot, whose father was killed.
Yeah, well, it was kind of obvious that the body in the basement was going to be Margot's father because of the hatred for the mob, and she was talking about it. And that was just kind of an obvious thing, why she has a grudge against the mob, and particularly now she's been chasing after Sonny. But I don't know.
All roads lead back to Sonny. Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah, they do. So this story really isn't about Mike's Alzheimer's as much as it is about this made-up story that's been changed, that Sonny killed somebody and buried him, and then Mike moved him to this basement. So it's just a little confusing. If they could just take that bit out of it, I would like it a little bit better. I mean, the Alzheimer's thing, it's time to kind of wrap that bit, because I don't mind that they are having these stories because they're important, and I think they do impact families a lot, but I do think that they're not just using it.
They're using it to be cartoonish now. Yeah, like, that's now, you know, there's a Rita who is out there, Natasha, yeah, girl, I'm naming you. Like, she, you know, it's touching the Alzheimer's story. Look, I like a good, what do you call those stories? What do you call those type
PSA?
Of stories?
Socially
relevant storylines. I like a good one because, you know, that's the world we live in. You want to bring awareness to things. I feel as though if you're doing a socially conscious or socially relevant storyline, you need to do it well. You cannot fuck it up. Like, i.e. Robin and Stone and AIDS and HIV. I feel as though you need an alcoholism and all that. But when you use it as a plot device and just, you know, we'll just say that Mike, you know, let's do this with Sonny. Yeah, we'll blame it on Mike. Yeah, that's like, really? The social part that you were trying to bring awareness for is all forgotten because you have it as a plot, a cheesy and lazy and low down dirty plot device, and you're just like, he have Alzheimer's? Oh, okay. It's lost in translation. At first, I enjoyed seeing that happen with Mike. I was like, what the hell's going on with Mike? You know, now you're using it to move along storylines. That's why I am like, y'all need to wrap this shit up. Mike needs to go in a home and keep it pushing, because it's a
story that's addressing something that happened in the past that we never saw. So once again, it's not a forward moving story.
that's, you know, Sonny was in, you know, he dragged his body and poor Charles. I'm like, you mean to tell me you left New York City where it got five boroughs? You could have dropped it in Staten Island, Queens, Brooklyn, the Bronx, Manhattan, but you brought that shit up upstate New York? Like, that is so dumb and lazy. That's why I'm not here for Mike and his Alzheimer's, because you forget that Mike has Alzheimer's. And I'm not saying that to be pun intended and funny, but think about it. You're sitting there and you're like, Mike, you know, you forget that that's what this, you know, what triggered this whole thing. Because they just used him to push this shit along and to weave these ill-advised and just shitty storylines on to bring on these characters that we have no history with and we don't give a damn about. Yeah, you're
well,
supposed
speaking to... of which, I mean, thank you, Jillian. That's a wonderful setup for a segue.
No, because I know where you're going with that.
That's like the perfect setup. You just teed it right up. The Rosales family on The Young and the Restless, a family that we have no connection to, know nothing about, and don't care about.
Speak for yourself. Don't do that. I told you don't do that.
Well, okay, Jillian, how about you take a stab at it? What are you thinking of the family at now that all three have been on the show for a bit and they're becoming quickly intertwined into the canvas of Genoa City?
Okay, now, I'm just going to go here. I know, you know, YNR, they get their ass spanked, but, you know, when your daytime division touts that you're the number one daytime show, you know, you got to get a number one ass whooping. Here's my thing with that. I don't have no problem with you bringing on a family. The way how they did it, the way how they executed it, that's what has fans riled up. The way how they brought these people on, they didn't slowly bring them on. They brought on Arturo. Granted, he was on there, six months-ish.
6 months.
Yeah, 6 to 9 months.
He had time to bang Nikki.
Okay, yes, I know that. I don't need you to do that. Thanks. You know, he came on 6 to 9 months, whatever, fine. Then you brought on Ray, and then right after that, you brought on Lola. Like, you know, we see that Mal Young is like Douglas Marlin. And who's that? I don't know that. Doug Marlin rules. What is that? And he threw it away and was like, pish tosh, I don't do that. Clearly, you don't read the rule book by Doug Marlin. But I feel as though I have no problem with you bringing on new characters, because it is The Young and the Restless. It's the way how they executed it that has them. That's another family, in my opinion. You mark my words. You write this down. This is a family that's doomed to fail because of the way how they brought them on.
Oh, yeah. It's like
right textbook. Right after you said... Right after it was revealed, Michelle Morgan's contract was up. She was trying to negotiate. Y'all was like, nope. Sony was like, nope. It's some mandate with Sony with no raises. Boom, she's out. The same thing with Eileen Davidson, not only at CBS, but also at friggin' Days. So you couldn't get her back as Kristen Susan. Boom, you have them there. And then Doug, you know, and then you have Doug Davidson where he's like, they put me on recurring and I don't know I'm coming back. The way how they executed it is the way how they have fans riled up. And then the Crystal Khalil thing, which, you know, I heard she personally wanted to go on recurring. So that's neither here nor there. But you know how some of these lame fans are. They think it's a conspiracy theory and they all try to connect the dots when they ain't supposed to go there. It's the way how they brought them on there. And I feel as though CBS is trying to do damage control by doing this whole get to know the Rosales family and da 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 so you can like them. I think that's good in theory because, again, they only came here to play some parts. It's not their fault. But at the same time, the sensitivity level there just has people like, ooh, like they just have that full family set up to fail. I like Ray. I think Ray is kind of cool. You know, I love me some Jordy Villasusso.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, I do too.
I am mad. I'm like, damn, y'all got him. Here's hoping that they don't do shit with him so he could go on back to Days, because I loved him as Days. It still cracks me up. He saw that car coming to run Chad's ass over. He was like, feet don't fail me now. And just book. He just was like, woo, it got out of there real fast. It was like, sorry, Abby, but I had to go. I have no problem with him there. I like the young lady playing Lola because
she's a nice addition. She's a nice addition.
I really like her. Yeah.
I like her because I'm tired of Summer and Kyle, you know, Summer being a slut little monkey, a little tartlet running after people. I don't know what y'all doing there with her, but I like her, you know, and Kyle needs to, you know, she'll knock Kyle down a few pegs, and she has already. So I think she's a breath of fresh air. Arturo, I'm just like, you were cool as eye candy. I could take or leave him. I think him and Abby suck.
Speaking of Kyle, Josh, yes. Kyle set up his uncle, and Billy bought into it, and is now losing money, and Kyle has the evidence, and he has made it so that Ashley is facing the fact that she's going to have to deal with her brother, and they've called in Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking?
I think it's the only thing on Young and the Restless that's holding my attention right now. I think it's good. I liked Kyle. I like Kyle slowly sort of gaslighting Billy. And even though Ashley won't be involved with it, she's sort of involved with it because she knows what Kyle's doing. But she
doesn't know
what Kyle's doing. Yeah. So I liked all that. I liked that Billy told Kyle, you know, they used to call your dad Smiling Jack. Because oh my gosh, this is so good. This is how you link Kyle to history. He is Smiling Jack. He can be.
Smiling Jack. Yes, when they said
it was so good.
I was like, look at Mal. I'm like, who slipped that in there? It wasn't Mal. Mal probably was somewhere else doing some shit. I'm like, that wasn't you. But whatever.
That was a good connect. Yeah, yes. I got so excited. I was like, yes, there it is. There's a good connection that brings Kyle to where he could be decades from now. So good. The rest of it, I could take or leave. But Tracy being on my screen, I love. I like that she's reluctant. I like that Ashley's kind of trying to manipulate Tracy, but Tracy's like, I know you, girl.
Yes. Tracy's like, bitch, I know you. You stole my man. Fuck you.
Exactly.
I know what you do.
Mike, what do you think of the element of Billy's storyline where he's trying to be upfront with Phyllis, and Phyllis has tried to go along with it but just can't anymore? I found that dynamic this last week to be a little bit intriguing. What did you think?
I actually liked the idea that I thought they were going to backtrack his addiction. But clearly they didn't do that. So I was wrong when I was thinking that.
Why do you think they were
going to backtrack? Because I just thought that they were going to kind of undo that he was an addict, that he could just is in it for the thrill of the chase. And that's how Billy presented it.
Yeah, true.
That's how Billy presented it to Phyllis. And she accepted it. She's like, okay, if this is what makes you happy and you get a little thrill out of this and you really don't have a problem, because she doesn't know a lot about that history. That was all Victoria. So it was like, okay. Maybe I'll give this a try. And then she saw really fast that it was he was circling the drain. And now he's going to have to be upfront with her again about the fact that he's, Kyle said, is that he's a CEO with an embezzlement problem. He just doesn't have a gambling problem. He's stealing money from the company.
From the family company at that.
To boot. So I think that I kind of like – I mean, Phyllis is on a lot. She's on almost 5 days a week, which is a lot for any one character. but I do think that this storyline is actually working for Billy, and it's working for Jason Thompson's Billy, because you can see the struggle. You can tell he's in over his head. He's got Gloria covering his butt, and it's just – it's okay.
Ironic that Gloria, side note, yep. Ironic that Gloria, I thought about Luke because you know how he do, y'all. But I thought it was ironic that Gloria, of all people, was covering for Billy. As much as Billy treated her like shit, she is like, I got you. I got you. I thought that was kind of cool.
I liked the way Kyle
explained to her that Billy has a problem and he's going to throw her under the bus. She's going to be the one to take the fall. And he's right, because that's exactly what's going to happen. I mean, that's a very logical thing for Kyle to tell her, that if she knows something, she needs to speak up.
You know what? That was just Kyle. I didn't think he was going to throw her under the bus, because I'm like, how the hell?
Billy will.
No, hold up. I don't think that he could. That's what I'm saying. I don't think that he could do that because I'm like, Gloria don't have the power to move all that money. That was just Kyle pulling a jack move trying to get her to snitch. To get her to snitch on that. But you don't know that
Gloria was not the person that Billy was making it look like that was doing it.
He gave her the post-it note and told her to do it. He could deny that in the end, potentially.
But he's the CEO, so he has to sign off on it. So that's why I
have a question for you guys then. Another pop quiz.
Oh, fuck.
So,
school.
Ashley's on her way out of town. Tracy mm-hmm. is not going to want to stay as the CEO of this company. Jack is otherwise occupied at Dark Horse. If they're able to get Billy out of there and reverse the Blood Abbott clause, who do you want to see as CEO?
That is a good question.
Because my first thought was, okay, well, maybe we have Lauren come in and do double duty for a little while as a temporary someone else is found.
No, Lauren don't want to fuck with Jabot. Lauren wants to tell Jabot to kiss her ass. She wants to get out of Jabot. No.
Well, okay. Jill, so that was first thought.
Okay, I could see Jill being the CEO of Jabot. I could see them doing that with her.
And that could be a nice short run until they find a permanent one. That would be a good one. Josh, who would you think?
I was just sitting here trying to think because the only logical choice, the only one left is Kyle. But you can't put Kyle in charge.
No.
He's a baby.
He a baby, but that baby put this whole scheme in motion. He ain't that much of a baby. I think, or if it's not Jill, you either have Jack, somehow Dark Horse merges with Jabot somehow.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I hope that doesn't happen. I'm not that enthused with Dark Horse. Mike, who would you like to see as CEO of Jabot?
Dina.
Oh my God!
Okay. I would go. You know what? I would stop. I'd be for that because I'd be like Dina. You know, I'd be like Dina. You said you was gonna give me a raise. I did.
You know, actually,
I mean, I ain't trying to make fun of Alzheimer's, but they don't treat it as how they're supposed to on the show either. So I'm like, whatever.
Actually, if they were going to really do this, I would say Devon got $3 billion. He can swoop in there and buy that stock and be the CEO of Jabot.
It depends on we would have to go back and look over again the status of stock at Jabot. It's been a while since we covered that.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how much. It's pretty blurry at the moment. I'm not sure that there's that kind of stock out there.
Yeah, it's a little blurry because Jill had 20%.
Right.
Because of her divorce with John and then the kids and all that. It is a little.
That's a really hard one for them to tell that story. And I'm not sure that Devon is so uninspiring as it is. I'm not sure that we want without Jack at there, without Ashley there. I don't know that we want Devon being the primary head of Jabot because all of a sudden that story becomes lackluster.
Maybe Neil, I guess. Maybe Neil decides to do them a solid, like Jack goes to him and tells Neil, you know, we need somebody in there until we can get things settled or whatever. And they
and he
have
does
him.
Know how Newman works.
And he is doing business with Ashley right now.
Yeah.
Well, he could be, she could appoint him and he could be her acting head, no puns intended. We'll wrap this up with talking about Sharon. She's got a job as a advocate at the police station. She's
Josh,
working.
Let Josh field this one first.
Josh, I apparently you have thoughts.
I thought you said thoughts.
No, that's Luke.
I don't have thoughts. Yeah. I have thoughts. My thought, okay, so I have to get out of my head a little bit here because social work is what I do for a living. I teach it and I
use
it.
Oh, Lord, y'all don't got the baby
man
now.
Forget Mike and lawyers and hospitals. We're about to get Josh in social work.
They kept saying that she was graduating in psychology at some random college graduation ceremony that happens in September.
In September, so what college graduates in September?
Oh my God.
Well, no, that was my thought. I'm like, what
okay,
the hell?
Okay, let Josh talk. Yes, I got it.
And psychology and social work are just very, very different fields. And so psychology, they look very similar, but they're very, very different things. So when they said that she graduated with a degree in psychology and was going to be a social worker, I was like, no, she didn't. That's not what she did. But okay, somebody could have gotten on the Google for a minute, and it would have, you could have straightened that out. But where it does work is that she could be a victim's advocate at the police station. That does work.
Isn't that what she is over there now, though?
Yeah, yes, he's just clarifying her degree.
Yeah, it works. The only problem is that Sharon ain't got no, she had no experience.
I would not let Sharon, if I was a victim's advocate and I bust in there, because you know the Newmans and Ben in the paper for shit. When they say, hey, it's Sharon, you know, we want you to talk to Sharon. This is Sharon Newman. I'm like,
I mean, like, I don't want any advice from this clip, though. I mean, hell no. I mean,
I kept thinking it would be so much fun if this police station was still filled with people, so that if Paul was there and if we had
Kevin was there,
if we had Greg Rickhart, it's like Greg Rickhart back as Kevin doing his stuff at the police station, and then you had what was the little boy, the little guy they had on
Cameron
at the police station that everybody liked him with Kevin,
Chris McKenna's character.
Yes, yes.
Look at on Al Gore's internet and look it up. You like to look up shit. Come on.
I know all the internet. But I
was it. Isn't he dead though?
He is dead. He was all messed up in that Scooby Gang mystery thing. But the
y'all mean the Spanish dude? Oh
yeah.
Shit. Who?
It was Ingo. Not Ingo. What's his
Ignacio.
Name?
Ignacio.
Yeah.
Yes, Luke. Get on Al Gore internet.
Ignacio Sriracha.
I just thought it would be so much fun to have a pop-in police station, and you'd actually have different things going on. You know, like Days and even GH to a certain extent do a little bit better job of that, of making it an actual.
Okay, there's too many cops. There's too many cops on Days at this point. I'm sorry, there's just too many.
Yeah, they are too. Well, wait, it's only what? Yeah,
there's Hope. There's Rafe. There's
Four.
There's four, but by soap standards, that's too many.
Yeah,
I think it's just.
There's a police chief and a detective.
Well, over at C, you wouldn't have been a GH fan back in the Gap, because they had a lot of cops.
And spies.
Yes. So
well,
you would
spies
have been
are different than cops, because spies can do shady stuff. But
yeah,
like,
they had a bunch of cops. Robert, Anna, Frisco. They had too much.
Oakdale and Bay City did really well with the police department. They were pretty well stocked and used.
Right, but that was like Hal and Jack.
Well, Hal, Jack, then Tom was in there, or Jessica. They always had the lawyers in and out of there.
Well, the lawyers, I don't count lawyers in it, but
It's still a used set. It wasn't just.
No, I'm not. I'm not debating sets. I'm just saying it feels like there's a lot of cops on Days. But I digress. We got off the point of Sharon. So Josh, finish up, and then we'll wrap the podcast.
I actually like that she's working at the police station. I've had my quibbles with the first part. It was like, this would not happen, but it's okay. I think Sharon Case and Jordi Villasuso have really good chemistry.
Yeah,
right.
I like them together. Nick is a douche canoe. It's driving me a little crazy right now. I don't mind douche canoe Nick. I just don't want him with Sharon right now.
Why?
Aww. Not right now. Because they've got these stupid secrets out there.
I thought, you know, when them having him randomly hook up with Phyllis, still maintain that was the stupidest thing they did, one of, because that just came out of nowhere. Like, y'all, they tried to pull, like, to me it looked like Mal was looking on Daze's cheat sheet, like, because Phyllis and Billy were mad for a minute, and Nick and Sharon were mad for a minute, aka Sammy was there, and Rafe and Hope broke up for 20 seconds and they decided to bone. They wanted to test that chemistry. And it's like, y'all didn't have to do that. Nick and Sharon are at that point in their life that they need to shore the fuck up, and they don't need to bust up no more. They don't need to bust up no more. So I see the promo. They're like, the secrets have to come out. I'm like, oh, no, it don't. Like, I thought it was random that Nick was telling Phyllis, I have to tell Sharon. No, you lie. I'd have lied. If someone said something, I'd have been like, that little girl's a damn liar.
She's trying to hook Billy. Yeah,
she's trying to hook Billy. She lying and she want more money from my ass because she blew her trust fund. You a lying little tramp, and I let her know, girl, don't fuck with me.
I'm of the opinion that not every secret has to be revealed, and yes. I'm perfectly okay with them never ever saying anything about it. I know what happened.
Yeah, I don't think they should have said anything about that, but with the murder thing, I feel as though I see where Sharon. You know, Sharon ain't wrapped too tight, so I see why I have to say something about this. I like her working at the cop shop. You know, Ray thinks he's playing Sharon, and Sharon thinks she's playing Ray. Like, I think that's cool because that's a good hustle angle.
Agreed.
I understand why she has to tell the truth, but I'm like, Nick, this is so random why you have to tell the truth. What, did Summer try to blackmail you for more money? Like, why are you... You don't have to tell the truth. Hell, you see, Victor ain't never told Nikki he nailed that nurse or that doctor in jail. Like, be like
Meanwhile,
your dad.
Meanwhile, Victoria's taking karate classes from Nate. And on that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DC Confidential. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DC Confidential. You can find me at Luke_Kerr on Twitter. Mike is at MPJ24. Jillian is at Jillian Bow, and Josh is at Dr. Joshua09. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Bye. Nate is a doctor, but he plans loosely up in here. Like,
make it stop.